God is in control. Though we see things just feeling like they're adrift, they're not. God has a plan, and God's working out his plan. God never sits up on his throne and goes, "Oh no, look what those terrible people have been doing now. I'll never be able to fix that." Climate change? Really? Don't worry, I've got it. I'll take care of it. All I need you to do is just so fall in love with me that nothing else matters. Trust in me because I am worthy of your trust. I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. Trust in me. Love me. Let me have control of your life and your circumstances. Because I'm getting real tired of having to fix your messes. When you try to do things in your own way, you kind of get in my way because I have a much better way for you to follow. I have much better thoughts for you to entertain than the ones you've been entertaining. Will you just fall in love with me? Will you fall completely in love with me? Don't let anything else divide your heart. Love me. Love me. It's a simple command. And yet it's a command that gives complete control to God. It's a kind of love that says, "You know what, God? I'm not as smart as you are. What have I ever created besides a mess? But you have created everything. I look around at all the beauty that God has created. God spoke those things into existence, folks. He spoke them. He imagined them, and he spoke them into existence, and they are. Why the anteater, Lord? Why ants? Why mosquitoes? Those little bloodsuckers anyway. God has a great imagination. The rain that refreshes our land and cleans the air, restores the groundwater that we pump out all the time and use. By now, Paul and his companions have had enough water. Their ship, the Alexandrian ship commissioned by Rome, full of wheat, headed to Rome, has been sailing through some seas that are not calm. Instead, it's the winter seas, and the winter seas are always unrestful, causing even sailors to kind of wonder, did we pick the right time to go? They have struggled from a little city in Myra, which is on that map on the inside of your bulletin. You can kind of follow along. It's gone in between the mainland of Asia and Rhodes. It tried to dock in one city, but then couldn't, and so head southwards. And it's been safe from that island. But then it makes its way on down to Crete. And the one place that it tries to dock in and try to get out of the storm that's buffeting their ship, it's not a good harbor, especially not for the winter winds. And so they get a little bit of a break, and they make their way around the island to another city called Phoenix, a place that I got to escape 17 years ago. Unfortunately, not the same Phoenix. This Phoenix has a harbor. Phoenix I came from didn't have a harbor. And though its harbor was safe, Paul and his companions, the sailors that are in charge of this Alexandrian ship, decide, you know what? There's a nice southerly wind. Maybe we can beat the storms of life. Maybe we can get out and we can make Rome and we can get the money for this cargo that we have, this precious cargo that Rome so desperately needs. And we need the money. We need that commission from this cargo to make our lives better. And so they venture out of the little harbor in Phoenix. And they start sailing along. It's a southerly kind of wind. And so they're headed back towards the north part of Africa. And as soon as they get out a ways from the island, all of a sudden, the Bible says in Acts chapter 27, which is where we're at, verse 13, the weather changed abruptly, verse 14. And a wind of typhoon strength called a nor'easter burst across the island and blew us out to sea. And the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. There are times when life is just what this video, the music video, is about. The storms of life have just kept coming at you, and you feel so out of control that you finally resolve yourself to just, let's just go with the wind, wherever it's going to take us. I don't have the energy or the strength to fight life anymore. I just need to roll with the punches of life. And though that's an okay attitude to have, there's a better way. There is a better way. And that way was pointed out by Paul before they even left the safe harbor that they were in Phoenix. He told them, an angel of the Lord has visited me, and if we go out to sea, we are going to lose everything. We're going to lose the cargo. We're going to lose all the merchandise that's on this ship. However, if we all stick with the ship, no life will be lost. But we will be losing this ship. You see, Paul was trying to talk to them about what God had revealed and what God's plan was for them to just stay in safe harbor until at least the winter storms passed. But no, they decided to go on their own wisdom, their own strength instead. And it says the sailors decided to leave the harbor. They don't want to give an ear to the man of God who has a word of knowledge for them. Instead, they go out to the seas and they take the risk. I mean, after all, these are manly men. They are sailors. They have seen storms. Ugh. I was waiting for the money from that cargo to put down on a swanky new apartment in Alexandria. Man, this thing was going to be decked out. I was going to have one of those gold-trimmed chariots outside. I've got plans for the money I'm going to make as a sailor. So I've got to get this cargo on into Rome, unload it there, so that my pockets can be filled. Let's go for it, boys. After all, who's this man of God? Has he been a sailor as long as we have? We're the men of the sea. Who is he? And what God is this that he's even talking about? We serve many gods. In fact, we'll even serve the God of the seas, and we'll sacrifice to the God of the seas, and that God will get us through. Do not tempt the Lord your God. And a typhoon-type wind, a nor'easter, blows them to where they don't have any control except to go with the winds. A nor'easter storm is exactly what the movie The Perfect Storm depicted. Seasoned sailors going out to just get that one last catch. We'll go out here and we'll make our monies, much like the sailors of the Alexandrian ship. You remember that ship, that little fishing boat? I mean, I say it's little, because when you saw the waves that it was against, oh my. And I was like, wow, to be men of courage like that. I mean, I see stuff like that and I just go, let's go back to the harbor, man. Forget the fish. They smell anyway. The sailors couldn't turn the ship around in the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, or in some versions it says Clauda, where with great difficulty, and here Luke is putting him into the throngs of this labor, he says, where with great difficulty we hoisted the lifeboat being towed behind us. Why would they tow a lifeboat behind us? Well, because that would kind of help with the speed of the boat. It would kind of help to slow it down. After all, if it filled up with water, it'd slow them down a lot. But they hoisted it, and it was great labor for them to do it. And then it says that the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. So nothing has changed. Everything that they are trying to do to save themselves, because after all, this is the politics on the high sea, the title of today's message, Politics on the High Sea. It's every man for himself. And if we get together and we go with a certain plan, we will make it. If there's enough of us that agree, even though the man of God has spoken and has given us a word that we shouldn't be out here in the first place, we're going to test life anyway. And that's what a lot of people do. I don't want to be a part of church. I don't want them to think me as regular. I don't want to be there every Sunday. I mean, after all, I got a life to live. There are things to do. I can find all sorts of activities. And after all, I mean, I can go out to the woods. I can find God out there. His presence is everywhere. So why do I have to be tied down to church attendance? Why should I go to a Bible study? Why should I fellowship with this room full of really crazy looking people? Why? To build up your faith. To acquire more knowledge. Oh, but I can acquire more knowledge. I can read the Bible myself. I have an education. I can read it. Really? Yes, you can read it. But do you believe it? And where do you have a place to work out what you know and what you believe? Except in the church. Except in the church as the church reaches out to the rest of the community. How will I know all the things about God if I don't learn from others? Oh, I'm my own lone wolf, thank you very much. Leave me alone. I stumbled this far, I'll just keep on stumbling. People, we need the church. We need each other. How do I know how to pray for you? How do I know what you need to learn about God if you never bother to share with another brother or sister what you're lacking? Does anybody have a full command of this book? If so, I will step down gladly. And I will have you stand here in this pulpit, because I will gladly and very truthfully tell you, even I don't have a full command of this book. This is a book that takes a lifetime of study, and not just study, but application. You see, you only believe as much Bible as you'll truly act on. And honestly, there are some of you in this room that have been, you've been churched for over 40 years. You've heard so many messages. It's time to live the truth in those messages. What's the problem with the Dead Sea? There's no outlet. You see, if you are like the Dead Sea, that you keep receiving it, you keep receiving this truth, but there's no outlet for the truth, you will become like the Dead Sea. You know there's no fish in the Dead Sea? There's not a lot of plant life around the Dead Sea either. It doesn't sustain life. Even though life keeps coming into it, there's no place for it to go out. Well, that's the reason for church. It's a place for that which you have learned, that which you have been granted. It's a place for you to live it out. Well, but I might make mistakes. Good. Good. I hope you do. I make them all the time. And you're going, really? Do I really want to be part of this church then? If its leader makes mistakes. Yes, you do. Why? Because we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to error. But we are not our errors. We are not our mistakes. Instead, what do? We may fall down. Come on, Brother Willie. but we get up. Life may knock us down, but we get up. But I don't get back up in my own strength. No, folks. I call out to the only God who's got the strength and ability to make me rise back up. So, yeah, I'll admit it. You did not get the golden goose when you elected me as pastor. You got a man that still makes mistakes. But praise God, they're getting smaller. And someday, I hope to be the best pastor with fewer mistakes. And I hope and pray that you will be a people whose mistakes will also lessen. But how can I know that if we're not involved in each other's lives? I don't want control over you. Don't hear me wrong. I want God to have control over you. I want God to have control over your life. And when God has control over your life, even when the storms of life batter against you, you stand strong. Oh, your knees might buckle sometimes, but you get up and you declare, I am a child of the Most High God. He is the Almighty. He is the ruler. He is the one who I call Abba. He is my father. I am simply his child. And as a child, will I make mistakes? Yes, I will. But he is there to pick me up. Just as he raised his son from the grave so that death could not hold him, so he will raise our lives back to life. Death has no hold on us. Our hope is in the glory of our Lord and God. Can I hear just a little amen?
Amen.
Why should I have to beg for it? People, you're hearing the truth of God's word. And amen means I agree with what's being said. They were afraid. They are driven before the wind. The next day, as the gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. What? But this is everything that their hopes and their dreams for success in this life. They're throwing it overboard. Why? Because this is the politics on the high seas. It matters not how much cargo you got on board if you go down with the ship. They are out to survive with their lives. Right now and in this point in time, these gale force winds. Now, gale force winds, think about this. I don't even want to be out on any ship in that kind of a thing. Much less this Alexandrian ship. I mean, it's not even made out of steel, folks. And the winds are battering against it. You can't get dry in gale force winds. Because the waters, just as they're hitting against the boat, the waters are just spraying against you. There is no getting dry. I'm sure every man on that ship had hands that were just like prunes. Shrinkled. See, I made a mistake. And you laughed at me. You ruthless people. Not only did these gale force winds drive the ship where they didn't know where it was going, they are wet to the bone. They are cold. They have not eaten, because when you have winds of this nature, every hand is on deck and every hand is trying to keep this ship together. Normally, there'd be one guy on, and this ship had two rudders in the back. Normally, there'd be one man back there holding that rudder. I'm sure now in these gale force winds, there were probably two or three of them on that rudder trying to help guide the ship, especially when these waves are so magnanimous. Up they go, down they go, up they go. Totally a prisoner to what the ocean is dishing out. And they go this way for 14 days. They are so busy in trying to keep this ship together from the ocean, not battering it away and apart, that they don't even stop to eat. That's how all into this. And I don't know about how many of you have tried doing a fast, but I can tell you, after 24 hours, you are prone to getting cold a lot quicker. Why? Because you don't have the food energy that helps create heat within your body. And so the tendency is to get cold. So these guys are cold, they're wet, they're being driven where they don't want to go. How about your relationship with God? Is it cold? Are the winds of this world driving you to do things that you know God would not approve? Your relationship with God just seems to be distant, and that's what these sailors thought as well. This gale force wind, they couldn't see the stars at night. They couldn't see the sun during the daytime. Now, think about the doom and the gloom that is riding on this ship. Some of you have been through very dark times like this. Some of you might be in those dark storms right now, where it just seems like there isn't any guiding star. There's not a sun to keep balance and let you know, okay, where's the west from the east? You just feel like you're lost in a battle. My dear children, please know this. You're not lost. God knows exactly where you are at. He's never lost sight of you. He's never lost control unless you've taken it from him. What? Come on, Pastor, that wasn't very nice. God desires to control your life. Well, where's my freedom then? Your freedom's to choose that or not. Well, but I'm my own man. Yeah? Join the sailors in this boat then. And see how that works for you. So for 14 days, they're in this gale force wind. They're soaked to the bone. They're cold. They're starving. It's utter darkness. And Paul stands up. The scriptures say about midnight on the 14th night. And they're driven, being driven across the Sea of Adria. And all of a sudden, the sailors sensed that land was close by. What? They sensed that there was land close by. Well, how could sailors sense? There's no stars. There's no sun. It's raining to beat the drums. You're soaked to the bone. You are starving. And yet they sensed that land was close by. How? How could these sailors do? They didn't have a sextant. They didn't have radar and sonar, the things that sailors require today and rely on. They didn't have weather radio or telling them any of this stuff. They were on their own. Where did they learn? Well, they were educated in the ways of the sea. And they could tell that the makeup of the waves had all of a sudden changed. As Brother Dan would be more than happy to tell you, because he told me. When you're out in the middle of the ocean, the waves are all linear. They're straight. But when those waves approach land, they curve. And there's a change in the waves, and so these sailors could sense that there was land close by. They couldn't see it. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you don't see where land is there. But follow God's hand. He'll show you. Paul stands up amidst the group of sailors who are now afraid, because as they put a weighted rope down, they see that the shore is coming up. I mean, the depth of the sea is getting shallower. And so now it confirms, hey, we sense that there's land. The rope, the weighted rope, is showing us that land is closer. We better throw some anchors out and slow ourselves down, boys. And so they do. They put four anchors out the back of the ship to slow them down, and they hoist all sails downward. Now, what are you? You are a ship out there attached to an anchor, and you're doing this. Now, the last time I was, any of you getting sick? Because I am. The last time I was out on a fishing boat, when we were going, when we were headed up, you know, when we were going out to the sea to find those fish, hook them, I was fine. When we stopped, and all of a sudden the boat is doing this, I started chumming the fish. And it was not with bait. It was with everything within me. And at this point in time, the only thing that I had to eat was red licorice. The restaurant had closed. And I'm glad, because I would have just spent wasteful money chumming fish. Well, they saw this red stuff coming out of me, and a couple of the guys tending the boat. Sir, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm just puking my guts out here. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, sure.
Well, sir, but it's red. Do you have a bleeding problem? No, I had a red licorice problem. Oh. Weirdo. They sense that land is close by. The sailors, now understand this, it's the sailors that wanted to go on this voyage anyway. They sense now that there's land close by, and so a few of them, we don't know how many, Luke doesn't include how many actually try to do this, but they drop a lifeboat down into the waters, saying that they're going to put anchors out in the front of the boat to kind of hold its position. And Paul has a word from God. God reminds him again, if all the people stay with the ship, Nobody will be harmed. If anybody leaves, some lives will die. So Paul tells the commanding officer, the Roman officer, sir, if those guys leave the ship, we're going to lose people. The ship's going to break up. Please understand. But God has said not one life will be lost if we all stay with the ship. Sir, do something. And the commanding Roman officer goes over to his soldiers and he goes, cut the lifelines on that boat. And they did. And the boat drifts away. And then Paul stands up before the whole crew of this ship, and how he gets this audience, I have no idea. And how his voice can be heard over the winds. But he says, men, take heart. You have been so worried about your journey that you have not eaten for 2 weeks. Please, eat something now for your own good. For not a hair of your heads will perish. Then he took some bread. He gave thanks to God before them all. And he broke off a piece and he ate it. And everyone was encouraged and began to eat. All 276 of us who were on board. This is the only place that Luke finally says how many souls were on that ship. 276 of them. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. And when morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed for the shore. But they hit a shoal. A shoal is an underground, what, Dan?
Underground,
thank you very much. It could be coral, it could be sand, but there is land underneath the water that all of a sudden the front end of the boat launches into. And the ship ran aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast with the stern, was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waters and began to break apart. The soldiers wanted to kill. Here's more politics on the high seas. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul. So he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim and jump overboard first and make for the land. And then the others. Now, dude, I call these the first surfers. Because they grabbed a plank, or they could have been the boarders, you know, the long boarders. I don't know. But they grab pieces of board and debris and they make it into the shore. Everyone, Luke wrote, everyone escaped safely to shore. Nobody was lost. Is God good? And as God speaks his word and the truth that's in his word, and you act upon it, your life will also be spared. But if you do not want to heed the words that are in this word, if you don't want to somehow make your life contour to the truth of this word, good luck, my friend. Good luck. That's all I can say. There is life in the word of God. There is strength for the journey. There is an ability to see through the storms that life is going to give you. Because life is not without storms, people. But then we also don't have to put ourselves in harm's way by the choices that we make. Instead, let God make the choices for you and surrender yourself to his course that he has for your life. Because you got to love what Psalm 139 says. It's been one of my favorite psalms for a long, long time. That even before one of your days even existed, God had plans for you. And as the prophet Jeremiah would say, those are plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's given you those plans. His name is Jesus. So put your life and your plans into Jesus, and you'll live out the plans that God has for you. I'm very excited about March 12th. March 12th, we are having a presentation here called Messiah in the Passover. A Messianic Jew is coming to give us a demonstration of the articles that were included in the Passover and how Christ is in every one of those articles. March 12th, it'll be our Sunday morning service that he's coming to give this presentation. I have a few of these posters made up here to give the location, the date, the time. I would really love to see this room packed out with people that want to learn about the Messiah in the Passover. We're looking for events and things to outreach our church into the community and into lives. Please help us out. This is your church, after all. Wouldn't you like to see it a little bit bigger? I'm not talking about let's get crazy. But wouldn't you like to see a few of these chairs occupied? Not for me. For him. Brother Allen, would you come up and do our announcements for us? Loving Heavenly Father, I just pray for each and every person that's here. Maybe they're in a storm of their life right now. Maybe the storm's passed and they're on really happy seas. Maybe their ship's been wrecked and they've been launched out onto an island that they know not of. But Lord, nothing escapes your knowledge. So Lord, let us surrender to your leading for our life and confirm. When we get something, Lord, help confirm that in us, that this is your plan, it's not my plan. It's not some other man's plan for my life, that it's your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you would like prayer to seek God's plan for your life, Brother Willie will be up here afterwards. Brother John will be up here afterwards. And they would love to pray with you about God's plan for your life.